is no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Man, oh man, I think I finally shit out the rest of that deep dish.
You got rid of it? I'm still sitting in it. It is, dude.
What was that place? What was it? Grinder? What was it called? The Grinder place? It was
Hoagies
like Chicago
and Grinders. Hoagies and Grinders.
Fernando, do you remember the name of that place that we got the pizza from?
Giardonio?
No, that's the other one. He's being racist against Chicago.
I think we got one from Luca Magnata's.
Luca Magnata's. That would be very, very thin crust and no cats allowed. We had this type of upside down deep dish pizza in Chicago where it's like, it looked like a mushroom tip, which is a wink, mushroom tip.
It definitely looked like you could put a nipple on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It looked like a big titty, and that's what made me like it. But it was just kind of like a bread bowl, but it was pizza dough, but filled with pizza content inside of the bread bowl, which is honestly very, very good. But I definitely took, we've talked about this, having a full, like, clear poop.
Uh-huh.
It's very scary.
Well, after you ate the pig's eye, that's exactly what happened to you
I feel like I just need to... I'm making my own Oleo. Do you remember Oleo?
Olean?
Was it Olean? Is that the one that used to drip out of you?
Yeah, that was the fat-free chips that I was obsessed with. Anyway, welcome to Science Stories, everyone. Ben Kissel hanging out with Henry. We also want to welcome our Patreon viewers. This is an episode that we will be recording for Patreon. So if you haven't subscribed yet, please feel free to go and do that. Thank you all so much for your support.
Thank you for your money. And this is what we fucking look like.
Ugh.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. We've just lost all of our money. All right. Well, last episode, we talked about Dickie's barbecue.
How many times we'll do side stories, and I am so surprised by what the audience has an emotional reaction to, right? Like
to be fair, it is food-based.
Yes.
Maybe we have trained our audience. We are just like our mothers.
Oh, fuck.
No, we've attached emotions to food. Our audience has been poisoned. Every time they're sad, they eat. If they're happy, they eat. If we talk about food, they get heated.
They get heated because we talked about this backstage a little bit. Like, we're not going to get into this, but
no, we can't. It's an actual fight.
It's an actual fight. But Kissel and I are both of the mind that food is such an important, it's like, especially if, you know, like backstage, the type of things where it's like, we want so much extra food. Yeah, I know it's bad. It's technically bad because it's like, but still, the staff eats it. People eat all the food that's there.
Everybody eats the food in the green room.
To me, it's a sign of wealth and power.
And I don't even care if it's a bunch of grapes and tomatoes. I like an abundance of things.
I want all piles of food.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing.
And in no way does this mean that we shut our emotions off as children.
No.
In no way does this mean that buffets are my new dad.
Absolutely
it doesn't matter.
Not.
But when it comes to Dickie's, now Dickie's, of course, was the restaurant that a man got so mad that his order didn't have enough, I believe, barbecue sauce that he then shot employees.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, Dickie's is not a good restaurant.
Well, it's definitely not shooting good.
It is not shooting good, or is this why that person shot it up? Obviously, that person was exceptionally mentally unstable, but Dickie's is terrible. 18 votes. This is according to an online...
Oh, and thank you to Joel for giving us the big breakdown and all the various votes and reading all of the various, very intensely emotional emails.
Absolutely. There's one that says Dickie's is the McDonald's of barbecue, which, you know, you could
depends on, say, that's
a compliment.
Technically, McDonald's is sometimes the only thing you can truly depend on.
Yeah.
Because of all of the various chains, which we've discovered, McDonald's probably has the most unparalleled, like in terms of quality. If you get a type of McDonald's sandwich, it's exactly the same every place that you go.
Absolutely. I'm also hearing that Dickie's has great catering. So it
seems like catering,
there are some people that like Dickie's and some people who really, really hate it.
For the most part, it's not good enough to kill somebody over. The thing about catering is you're going to eat it no matter what because you're just at an event. So you're going to eat whatever's there because you're trying not to get too drunk to tell your boss how you really feel or tell the secretary how you really feel. And both of them are not a good thing to do.
Do be careful if you go to a Dickie's because in 2014, an employee accidentally put lye, which of course is a toxic cleaning agent, in the iced tea thinking it was sugar.
That's
so
not
there
a,
have been some
is that
mistakes.
A mistake? That's a crime.
I mean, that's a crime. All I know is it seems like now Dickie's has a poisoning and a shooting, and I never heard of it before.
No.
So dare I say, PR. They you know what they're doing? Catching the true crime wave. 2014, they tried.
Yeah.
And then now they're like 2022. Yeah. True crime, why now? Because Dickies has to sell more crappy barbecue.
I mean, someone's got to sling this barbecue. This pulled pork is not going to move itself unless it starts moving itself, and then call the government.
Absolutely.
Couple other updates. Number one, this mystery airborne slime in East Las Vegas that we were talking about, I think it was last episode. It seemed very interesting. It seemed very mysterioso because it was next to some weird clandestine airstrip where people flying in and out. But it turns out it is bee poop.
So now when it comes to the bee, don't they have a lot of, speaking of press, good press, whether it be Jerry Seinfeld in the bee movie or us being like,
movie.
You must save all the bees. But now they're just taking dumps wherever they want. Maybe we need little bee bathrooms.
I think it's diarrhea.
Well,
they say they just shit.
I'm stupid, you know, in many ways, but isn't it honey? I thought they crapped honey, or do they puke honey?
That's bee cum. SidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. What out of a bee can you eat?
Is it shit? Is it puke? Is it cum? What is honey?
I think it's cum, but also when it comes down to it, I don't know how they're so... this is the thing. So yes, there's an explanation. It's bee poop, but also at the same time, why is it all of a sudden at such a massive degree? Like, did they get into the deep dish? How did they slather an entire town with bee shit?
I don't know, but
I don't know.
It is the, according to the Clark County Department of Environment and Sustainability, it is black and brown, and it's sometimes oil-like.
I guess so. I just never heard of that shit before.
It's what they, according to Kevin McDonald, he's a public information officer, he says it's what's called BFRAS.
Yeah.
BFRAS.
Get out of here.
Also known as fecal matter, so bee poop.
I guess, but it's still, why is it all showing up in such a high concentrated amount? It's never done that before, and now it's doing it.
Are buffets back?
Is this the sign? Is this the sign? Please tell me, dear Bellagio, dear God of Bellagio, please bring your premier buffet back. I miss the seafood aisle. Man, that seafood aisle in the fucking sushi area, ooh, it's good.
I do love it.
There's another, we got another update. It turns out the guy did not get meningitis. He didn't get meningitis. He didn't get that from the food. It's an airborne illness, so whatever they said was incorrect, but it seems like maybe, just maybe, the person that ate the food before, apparently ate the food, got sick, vomited, and that felt that the maybe vomit flex got somewhere inside of the apartment, and that's how that guy got it. But because he was not vaccinated against
meningitis,
because he wasn't vaccinated against it, that's why he had such a bad reaction. Again, remember, get vaccinated against meningitis.
And also, if you can, don't have roommates if you can.
Get rid of them.
But it's hard.
It is hard these days in this economy. And another correction.
Rent is crazy.
We said that John Lilly in the MK Ultra episodes, he was the one that had sex with the dolphin. I said that off the cuff. Sometimes I did make it up, but it turns out it was his employee. It was somebody else in there. A woman named Margaret Howe Lovett. She was the one that jerked off.
Buddy, I'm giving you a pass. It's close enough.
Thank you.
If you know someone first, if you're 1 degree of separation from someone who had sex with a dolphin, I'm sorry.
You're guilty.
Birds of a feather.
You've been there.
Flock together.
Because you didn't stop it.
No, you
didn't.
You didn't
say like, hey, let's think about this for
and you
a
know,
second.
When she comes in, she's all wet. She smells like a dolphin's cum. You can ask a question like, did you fuck the dolphin? And then when they say, yeah, you can be like, oh, man, that's just so a deal breaker for me.
It might be. What if dolphin cum smells like ice cream? What if it's delicious and we don't know?
Well,
I mean, there's got to be various cums of certain animals that might actually be tasty and we don't know. It's like how we found milk.
To be fair, well, not really.
We
but
found milk.
I bet you it all just, I think it's all the same.
Hmm.
I think it's all just the same biological goop that we're all created with, which in a way, isn't that nice? All right. Well, we have to go. We have to go to Wisconsin. Now, this is not to talk about the fact that Aaron Rodgers just signed a $200 million contract and he's still the Packers quarterback.
You're excited about this?
Yes.
Okay, good.
No.
What are they packing?
I'm going to kill you.
Is that a funny joke?
It is. So this woman in Wisconsin.
She is.
She liked to have sex with her boyfriend, but they like to do it on meth. And then sometimes when you do strong, hardcore BDSM stuff, and then one person is on meth, and then it's like, oh, things get out of hand. You end up choking the partner out.
and then beheading them.
I feel like there's ways. There should be a stopgap in there. There should be steps.
Absolutely. Taylor.
It's so wrong to have sex on meth, right?
No, of course not.
Have sex on meth, sure. I mean, don't fucking choke him to death with a chain.
That's the problem. And of course, if, you know, meth is a little dangerous, be careful out there. Taylor Denise Shabusiness. Well, she showed this man the business indeed. She's 24 years old, and she murdered a man named, what's his name?
25-year-old Shad Tyrion.
Oh, so Shad is now dead.
Yeah, but it's a terrible name, but that's not his fault.
No, it's not. And also, there was a great wrestler named Shad who also passed away. Maybe that name is a little cursed. I don't know. Either way, they also found in Wisconsin, this is in Green Bay, they discovered a body part in a bucket, and it turned out to be, quote, a male organ.
Oh, what, like a piano?
No, like a penis.
Oh, that seems to be a euphemism, so because they could just say penis.
So she cut off his head, she dismembered the body, but like Ted Bundy said, sometimes you forget where you put your flashlight.
Well, the story
she forgot where she put the dude's head.
Yeah, so what she said straight up is that they found her at a friend's house in a sweatsuit, completely covered in blood, and she was like, me? And originally, because what they did was that the mother of Shad Tyrion went down being like, you know, like looking for her son, like where the hell it is. He's normally having sex at this time, because apparently they were known for having loud, raucous, meth-fueled sex in the basement of his mother's home. And then I guess you get used to it. You don't hear it anymore.
It is not. That's why there needs to be a Happy Mother's Day card. Happy Mother's Day. I'm sorry I fucked this chick in the basement so loud all the time. I love you.
I thought you wanted a grandbaby. But then
you know that's how she rationalized
it. Oh, of course. Being like, as long as they're making another one.
That's fine.
But they found a bucket and she opened up. She pulled. There was a towel on the bucket and she lifted it over and it was her son's head and a penis inside the bucket, right?
Oh,
which is like
God,
not great.
No.
So they went and they found out that Shabusiness was the last person to see Shad alive. So they tracked her down at an apartment and the first thing that she said to the police was, you're going to have fun finding the rest of his guts.
Well, ma'am, I'm starting to... We have a suspect now. I want to thank you for that sentence.
Yeah, I might be a bit of a suspect.
Also, yeah, it's all in Wisconsin. So as we learned with, you know, all of the serious trials and things that take place in Wisconsin, that accent isn't conducive to talking about crime.
Especially not seriously talking about crime.
Oh, yeah, he put his head in a bucket there.
We must kill the Batman. I mean, all right, so anyway. Shabusiness. So she started, apparently, though, they were having some good old-fashioned sex, right? And they turned into BDSM.
I don't know if it was good
sex.
Old-fashioned sex.
Ooh. It sounded like she might have been truly, she was fucking him from the back, right? So she might have been pegging him. And then he wrapped a chain around his own neck. This is according to Shabusiness.
Who, you know.
And then she wrapped the chain around his neck. And so, like, he gave it to her. She's tobogganing him, right? So she's got, maybe she's got the penis in the butthole. And then she's got the dildo in the butthole. And then she's choking him from the back. And then he started coughing up blood. And then she told the cops straight up, well, I'd already gotten this far. And then
Hold on a second. So in her mind, he's coughing up blood. And then she's like, good Wisconsin, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Better finish the job.
Well, we're already here.
In this case, I would say you can clock out early.
Oh, absolutely.
Feel free to stop. And just do a quality check.
Coughing up blood is a red light. And you need to remember that, audience members, no matter what. Once you start fucking coughing up blood, that's when you really need to stop, check yourself, and wonder how we got here so far.
And this next statement is where it becomes nefarious and how we know for a fact that this was not an accident.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Because then they asked her, like, so why didn't you stop? And she says, well, maybe I liked it. And then she said, yeah. I liked it.
It took 3 to 5 minutes for the victim to die. I want to say this is one of the, as far as like being stabbed, being shot, being choked from behind. In this case, you know, you got the meth. At some point it dawns on you, you're about to die. And then you got to panic. And then you got this woman who, as Henry said, potentially is pecking you.
Oh, yeah.
3 to 5 minutes is a long freaking time. I was a wrestler.
Yes.
I was a wrestler. You want to talk about it?
I remember. I've seen the plaque.
Each quarter or each little round is only 2 minutes. You're like, 2 minutes? What's that? It's a long time.
Oh, yeah, man.
And you get real tired. So 3 to 5 minutes, this dude.
3 minutes of solid lovemaking is the most tired you'll get.
That was not lovemaking.
But, you know, that's true. I mean, honestly, you have to remember you're in the middle of that. So Shabusiness,
don't forget what happened next.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Because then she got, so she stabbed him a couple times, and then she had, she performed sexual activity with the man's corpse for 2 to 3 hours.
Hold it. Wait, I'm sorry. For what? How long?
For 2 to 3 hours. So into the early morning.
How good was the meth? At some point, don't you, like, wake up and you're like, whoa, there's a corpse here, and I'm blowing it. Like, what does this mean? This woman is Dahmer.
Oh, yes. Well, she said that when she first, the first time she talked to the police, she said that she blacked out and she woke up and all this happened. And then afterwards, she's like, no, actually, I was very much aware of every single thing that I was doing there. And so she got a butter knife and she decapitated him.
She
with
got a bread knife, yep. Which is even, it has a little serrated edge.
Not barely. But she fucking, she decapitated him and then she started moving the body parts around. She started like manipulating his dead body, cut off his fucking schvants, put that in a bucket with the head, and her thing was is that she started moving the body parts around. She said whatever bags were around, that's what really was important. I wanted to save time and I wanted to save my energy.
Oh my god.
And so then at one point she said that she did get paranoid and lazy, but at the time she thought that it was dope and that honestly maybe the dope was making her paranoid. And so she started taking all of the various body parts with her, but she left the rest behind. She got the legs and the foot and all the kind of on the feet inside of her car. And then she left the head and the penis behind because she said, quote, I got lazy.
She got lazy and she forgot it. So be, very careful out there. Shabusiness.
What, from a thick-necked woman?
Yeah. She definitely... I mean, she's not unattractive.
No.
Kind of unassuming in a sense. I mean, she does look far too calm in this mugshot. And
she does
dare
have,
I say,
one day someone would say, technically that would be called resting bitch face, but I feel like that's a lot of people suffer from resting bitch face, and which is why I'm selling Zabrowski corner lifters, which are going to be these wonderful little hooks you can attach to the bad corners of your mouth and lift it up and put it behind your ear so that you're always permanently smiling.
That'll be fantastic.
Live from your grave.
A roast as dark as the night. Perfect for fueling the cryptid research and mad ravings required for your podcasting. Don't mind the red eyes. He's just trying to warn you of the bridge.
The bridge.
Finally, from the caffeine-addled brains of Springheel Jack Coffee and Last Podcast on the Left, we bring you Mothman's Red Eye Blend. Yes, delicious Panama beans. Go to lastpodcastmerch.com to order yours today.
All right. Well, speaking of killers and just absolute horrific acts because of sexuality, perhaps, this dude, be very careful on OnlyFans not to have your address out there because, what is it called? Parasocial relationships.
Parasocial relationships. And honestly, this is not even parasocial. This is straight up stalker activity. And this person, you can never blame the person that something bad happens to.
Absolutely.
But she definitely, she had tried to protect her own identity and this guy went above and beyond to figure out where she lived.
Mauricio Damon Guerrero, he was taken into custody last month. So he's a dude. He is a 20-year-old man. He allegedly drove 400 miles to break into a woman's home he met on the platform OnlyFans. At this point, he got there. I don't believe she was there. And then he stayed in her home doing God knows what. The suspect reportedly climbed onto the roof through a window in the attic. Officers on the scene quickly took the suspect, later identified as Damon Guerrero, into custody on suspicion of burglary.
Yeah, he went over there. He basically figured out he drove 400 miles.
Which is enough. Did he put the diaper on? Like, remember the astronaut check?
I think he understood you could make a rest stop. But he went to drive. He drove the 400 miles and he was taken into. He drove the 400 miles and he broke into the woman's home. And so while she was living there unaware, he lived there for about a week where they ended up finding him up in the attic. They found where he was with a couple of bottles of piss, food. And they then found his cell phone, which had videos of her asleep. Now,
that is very, very
frightening.
Reminds me of that fantastic film, Parasite.
Oh,
so
yes, but even that was more social commentary. This is just straight up absolute horror. Well,
in a way, this is a social commentary when it comes to modern dating. She said she gave him her previous address in New Hampshire, and then he had promised to buy her a TV and a fireplace, but then obviously he had no ability to do that, well, and it was all lies.
Like, while Amazon is not something that you can, like, we try not to support it as much as possible, but it is one of those things. What's nice about those lists is that it could control who can see your information. Why a lot of times people put up those gift lists, the things that you can buy.
Sure.
For various OnlyFans performers, people on Twitter. Like, you should just use that, because she told him the address. He somehow figured it out. And she said that she first found him in front of her apartment, where she walked outside because I guess they had done a couple of chats where she'd sort of seen him over Zoom a couple of times, but she had no intention to meet him in person in any way, shape, or form.
Absolutely not.
So she found him outside her home, sleeping in his car. And then when she confronted him, he said that, "Hey, listen, I drove from Pennsylvania. I just slept outside your house. I was just trying to see. I just want to see what you're like." Because according to police, what he said to them, "I thought she wanted a stalker." And let me say this right now. Nobody wants a stalker. We want a fan? Yes.
Sure.
Do I love when you send hot sauce to the P.O. box? Absolutely. Burn my asshole. Ooh-wee. But stay, you don't need to be everywhere. You don't need to break into my home and film me while I sleep. Nude.
Well, no, absolutely not. Give yourself 2 years and you'll be filming yourself while you sleep and selling it on your own Polish OnlyFans. I was trying to find a term that I talked about it on Top Hat regarding Amazon. 9% of the factories where they get their goods use slave labor.
Oh, yes.
And they call it...
it's not good.
They have a special name for it, which I thought was just so fucking insane. But anyway...
What, like volunteer robots?
Like, Fernando, if you can find that'd be a miracle.
But this is really fucked up, because he went there, he was building this up, and so this is how he fucking did this. So she went, when he first showed up in front of her house, she realized, okay, well, now my home is compromised, I'm gonna need to find another place to go. So she moved to her mom's house. She was staying in her mom's house. She has no fucking clue how he figured out how to get to her mom's house.
Okay, so this man is doing some sleuth work. He is being an internet detective, but he's not trying to find the aforementioned Luca Magnotta. He's not trying to find a serial killer. He is, in fact, the killer himself. This is so scary. Also, the term. So in 2020, Amazon found that 8% of its firms audited had labor issues related to, quote, freely chosen employment.
Forever, man.
That's
Holy shit.
It's called slave labor. So just remember Freely chosen employment. I thought that term drove me nuts. Reminded me of the term during the MK Ultra series. Just the way that they speak about it is as if it's some fancy thing, and it's like, no, you're just giving people acid.
You're just breaking people's
minds. Up their assholes.
Yeah, and doing an amateur hypnotism. So the guy, he didn't know. I don't know. They don't know how he did it. He figured out where her mom was staying. He rented an Airbnb nearby and started casing the house.
No.
And then when he went to the house. He waited for them to leave. He went to the home with a crowbar. He stopped. This is type of shit that sends a chill up my spine. He broke into the apartment, right? And then he went and found some of her keys. He found house keys. And then she said literally her keys went missing for a day and she couldn't figure out where it was. He went.
Goblins?
He copied
Remember
all the keys.
Remember what happened with you?
Oh, yes. Oh, no. Believe me.
Did the goblins copy the keys?
Was I gang stalked? No, Natalie and I talked about this the other day. She has this like thing, was like this some weird like statue thing, and it literally moved to, like, truly, it moved to a place in the house that she did not remember putting it. We're
okay.
Like, are we being gang stalked? But this person went in, removed the keys, and then she said, well, then she mysteriously found the keys. Like later on in the same exact spot where she thought that she left it. So he went, he copied the keys and then wormed his way into the fucking house. And so then he was just waiting. Every single time they'd go asleep, he'd come out of the attic at night and prowl around.
Dude,
eat
no,
their food,
get out
do this
of
this kind
here.
Of shit. I don't mean it. This is that we try not to cause panic to our listeners, but it is important to remember. Like, this is why I do a sweep at night.
Well,
when I wake up at 4 a.m. every single night, I walk.
You don't sleep.
I don't sleep. But so I look out the windows. I check the perimeter. I got the alarm. I have cameras.
You
watch
are,
all that kind
what
of
are
shit.
You, Tom Hanks from The Burbs? What are you doing in your home?
I
you are, oh my God, the dude in Florida
the man who is in the tighty whities trying not to get abducted. You are that man.
Oh, from Gulf Breeze?
Yes, you are that man.
Yes.
Do you put a shirt on? Are you all in?
No, I'm in my underwear.
Just in your underwear.
Oh, yeah. I walk the whole perimeter.
Broom or knife in your hand?
Nothing. I'm going to do bare hands. Also, right. When it comes down to if they see a nude Polish man in the dark, they're going to know. Vengeance has come.
All right. Well, speaking of naked and speaking of neighbors, Kenneth Clark Carlisle, what a name it is. He's a 64-year-old dude, right? And now for unknown reasons, he was just walking up the driveway of his neighbor's house, butt-ass naked. And then what he did, so you know when you're naked, it's so much easier to go to the bathroom because you don't need
go
pants
anywhere.
On.
Yeah, your pee-pee's out. You can do whatever you want. You pee wherever you want.
So you're the neighbor. You pull back the curtain, be like, Kenneth is coming up our driveway. He's totally butt-ass naked. And then he went to the glass table. And then at that point...
So where is the glass table?
It's on the porch. So the glass table is on the victim's porch.
Sure,
right?
sure.
And then he took a big old dump on it.
Ooh, because I definitely am not going to stop him.
No. And then Carlisle was arrested Friday afternoon for the criminal mischief charge. Cops say he was captured relieving himself in broad daylight on two separate angles of the victim's home security.
Wow.
Footage. So we just did a fantastic interview about Ted Kaczynski.
Yes.
So can't wait for you guys to listen to that on our Patreon. This man seems like he might be a little Kaczynski-ish.
Well, what is their relation to this man? This man showed up and then did what? Like, what do you do? I guess, truly, if I see a nude man on my suit, like, yes, let's say my 4 a.m. walk arounds. I saw a nude man walking into my property and going to go take a shit. And then as long as he leaves... That's kind of like, because my mind is, I was like, we'll just wait for this to sort out, and then we'll get the cops on the DNA.
So,
because I really am excited to watch the cops have to scrape the poo-poo up and have to take it back to the various labs. I don't know what they have to take it to CIS.
You know, sadly.
CSI? What's his name, fucking from Jade?
David Caruso.
Yep.
Sure. Sadly, this is not a bear situation, so there was no DNA collected.
Oh, yeah,
this is not about bears breaking into refrigerators
that's
and stealing
really
snacks.
That's when they really do the hard work.
Well, that's when the detective work begins. So this man went, took a dump on a glass table, and then the neighbor was like, well, we got to call the police because of that happened, you know? And then the cops showed up, and Carlisle, he was in his RV, and this is according to the officers. Carlisle was spoken to through the door of his RV camper, and he was still visibly naked and highly uncooperative.
visibly naked.
But the thing
like
is, he's,
wait,
not,
he's looking through the door, and then you see this like nude man. He's just like.
So he was on bond for criminal mischief, but it's only $250. But he still is behind bars facing several other charges stemming from a December arrest. It seems like Carlisle also was busted for drunk driving and discharging multiple firearms into a lake near his residence.
This is really interesting because I hate like those law terms because like criminal mischief just sounds like someone's just having a little bit too much fun.
He had too much candy.
Yeah, but that's not what it is. I guess it's mostly vandalism. Would you consider that vandalism? It's weird. When it comes to human shit, something about the process of human shit coming directly out of your butt onto my furniture, it's not vandalism. That's a weapon. That's an attack.
It's You're a biological
attacking the
attack.
Piece of my home.
You know, it is kind of nice he used the glass table, though. It is easier to clean. You're going to hit that with the hose.
I mean, and also, it just sounds like you should pay him. If this was any other environment, they would be paying him $25,000.
This man lives a hell of a life, I have to say. So when it comes to the multiple firearm charges and shooting into the lake, Carlisle fired the guns while seated in his car. So he's just blackout drunk. He just pulls up to the lake, takes a shotgun, rolls out his window, and just starts shooting the lake with a shotgun. He has been, again, charged with DUI and two felony firearm counts. And
And that's called, I know this is how I looked it up. This
called?
Is the Google salad I just used. What is called to be under glass table when someone shits?
What is it?
Glass bottom boat. That's the term, according to Urban Dictionary. It's right here. It says a sexual act in which the customer, it says customer, which actually it doesn't have to be. It could be a spouse. It could be a loved one. It could be a brother and a sister, depending on what part of the country you're in. And so it's a sexual act in which the customer lays under a glass coffee table and looks up through it while their partner defecates on the top.
Wasn't there the rumor about De Niro in that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But who knows what's real.
Everyone wants and it. And again, they're just mad at how good an actor he is.
Well, a little bit. You want to do it? Do you want to do it off? You a little bit? I got nipples. Can you milk me?
Live from your grave.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here with Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah, it's me, man.
Yeah, bro. Henry Zebrowski is smoking some of that sweet last podcast on the left, babe. So go out there and purchase yourself some. I hope you enjoy it. We have sativa, we have indica, and we have a hybrid. And I have to tell you, from my personal experience, they are wonderful.
Super tasty live resin. You really get the delicious weedy taste, which is what I like. And yes, three different experiences. You go to your local vape store and get it.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We absolutely love you. Can't wait to see you on the road. And get that vape, put it in your brain, and have a good time.
And if you want us at your favorite weed store, give them a call and ask for them by name.
Absolutely.
Last podcast on the left, it's weed.
Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
All right, before we interview the mastermind behind Troma, Lloyd Kaufman.
Yes.
Let's do Hero of the Week.
Hero of the Week.
We're going to North Carolina. The hero this week, it's a woman. And this woman,
nice.
Her name is Carly Cindy. She's of Asheville.
Well, she's got two first names.
Well, Cindy with an S, so it counts as a last name.
Okay.
She wants to be able to express herself on her freaking license plate.
Absolutely.
And dare I say, of course, if you're going to have a vanity plate, do I think they're mostly douchey? Yes.
I don't know, man.
In this case.
You're allowed to tell
you're allowed.
The world. This is about a freedom of expression.
I saw a guy, the funny thing about Hollywood, you see people in fancy cars 12 years ago, right? But they're still driving them.
Yes.
I saw a guy in a red convertible and on the license plate, it said Buzz TV, which must have been something he was working
on. Some web.com thing.
And it's
back
from like
the
2008, the car. Yeah. And it says Buzz, B-U-Z-Z TV. And I'm like, you failed.
And you're going to be like, no, this is before the bust. They used to give us money to make comedy films.
Is that right? This woman wanted to express herself in one of the most glorious ways possible, farting. She wanted to have fart on her North Carolina license plate.
So
however,
she just wanted the word fart.
Fart, which is allowed.
Why is that?
People do it. As a matter of
illegal?
Fact, as a matter of fact, Henry turned me on. Henry told me the first ever joke recorded was a fart joke.
It was a Sumerian on a Sumerian tablet. It was about a wife sitting on a husband's lap and she farted.
That's the first joke of all time. So there's nothing wrong with fart. So she says, I want to have fart on my truck. The DMV asked Cindy to respond, explaining what the plate meant, as if we don't know what the plate means.
Just make up an acronym. Just lie to him.
Yes. She and some friends online put their heads together and came up with an attempt to save the fart. They decided to tell the DMV that it was an acronym.
Yes.
And this is what it said. Friends of Asheville Recreational Trails.
That's incredible.
Well, we say completely made up.
That's not exactly accurate. You made it up. You actually made it be a thing, so that should be official.
That's exactly correct. It's almost like you have telepathies. Now the group does exist.
Yes.
And Cindy says there is 15 people within the group.
I love this.
So the DMV did respond, and it's yet to be seen if the DMV will allow Cindy to keep using fart.
These people are fucking
But they
weak.
Better allow her to, because again, look at... All it takes is just do something. If you build it, they will come. If it's
Seriously.
A brothel. But just do something. And then now she has 15 new friends because she wanted a vanity plate that said fart. They came up with a fake acronym and now it's a real acronym.
It's
so that's why you're the hero of the week.
It's just fart. And honestly,
who
but it's good for them. And I'm just so excited because it really come down to what's nice about... It's nice about maybe this is too far, but what's one fun thing about the American system is that if you do figure out a way to creatively get yourself through the system, you can do it. Like, this is really smart. The fact that they did this and they allowed it, because it really comes down to it. You know, this is just stupid jurisprudence. It's just fucking assholes.
Oh, it's just a moron.
It's
someone wearing like
no.
a JFK Jr. 2024 shirt being like, I don't think we can have fart on a license plate around here. There's class around here.
Finally, there's goddamn justice in this world. I mean, none of it that we needed. But in this one time, we got it.
In this one time. All right, everyone. Enjoy this interview with the founder of Troma, the man who brought us the Toxic Avenger. So much more. Tromeo and Juliet. Without this man, we wouldn't have South Park, perhaps.
Oh, I mean.
Would we have James Gunn?
No, I don't know. I don't know. This man, Uncle Lloyd Kaufman. Let's get him in there.
All right, here he is.
Live from your grave.
All right, everyone, now it is time for our interview with a man that needs no introduction, but we will give him one.
You have to have one.
He is the man behind the Toxic Avenger and so many other fantastic characters, the mastermind that created Troma, a true living legend. Lloyd Kaufman is with us. Thank you, Lloyd, and we are so excited that you have a new film, Shakespeare Shitstorm, coming out very soon.
Excuse me. Last podcast on the left. It's a hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm.
It's hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm.
Oh, I'm sorry. Shitstorm. I didn't realize.
And honestly, the audience can't see Lloyd at home, but I'm going to tell you, your breast implants are incredible.
Oh, those are man breasts. You get that when you're old. I'm 76.
No, dude, I have them now. I'm 37. Look at me.
You
shave my body, I look like an abuelita.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Lloyd.
Thank you. Honestly, now you're hard. And I honestly don't appreciate that. This is a
fantastic.
Professional interview.
I do appreciate it.
But we'll put the dates out there. For those of you who know, hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm.
Absolutely. What are the dates where people can see hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm?
It's April 8th through the 14th. This is going to be at Cinema Village downtown. This is one of my favorite theaters in the world, Cinema Village. And then the premiere is at April 8th at the Museum of the Moving Image in Queens.
Beautiful.
And you should really check it out. Hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm. And I saw this at the digital premiere during COVID, and I absolutely love this movie. I really think in terms of like one of your directing pieces, like the movie that you specifically directed, this is truly one of the best ones I have seen. It's very funny. My question, Lloyd, is why The Tempest? Like, why did you decide to do a version of The Tempest? Because obviously you're like born to be Prospero. Like, you could be Prospero on stage.
Well, thank you for that. Tempest has been my favorite Shakespearean play. I would have shot it during the Romeo and Juliet days, but excuse me, hemorrhoids. But cut out the hemorrhoids part.
It's all good,
that's
buddy.
That's a part of the brand.
Co-creator Marcus Parks is currently going through a colonoscopy. We have a lot of butthole talks as a group of friends, so. Don't worry about that.
In my case, they're hemorrhoids.
There we go. Boom.
What are we talking about? I know. Oh, yeah. You asked a good question. The Tempest is my favorite Shakespearean play. I saw it for the first time with my mother when I was about 8 or 9 in Stratford, Connecticut. Maurice Evans and I can't remember the late others, but it knocked me out as a kid. And it stayed with me through my whole life, and I figured I'll wait till I'm kind of Prospero's age.
Yeah.
When I can really get into his feelings. And so I waited on The Tempest to now. And it's the Tempest, as you know, is about the loss of power.
Yeah.
It's about magic. Clearly, I've lost power. Troma is sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into the underground, not to mention the fact that I'm almost 80 years old, but I look older.
No, you look fantastic. You look exactly technically what you look like as you get old.
You do look fantastic. And of course, Troma is
fantastic.
And of course, Troma is such an iconic brand that it goes, it only gets stronger with age, as I think people take, it really does, as people take the artistic, all of the artistic ventures as a whole.
Look
at Troma and you're like, holy crap, look at this library of content and creativity, launching careers like Trey Parker and Matt Stone, and launching careers of course, James Gunn. I mean, these are some of the most famous, successful people in Hollywood. And so Troma is iconic, and it goes nowhere. It lives forever.
Well, thank you. Even Samuel Jackson, we made an old black movie way before Boys from the Hood. We made it around the same time that Spike Lee was coming up. But unfortunately, we didn't have Columbia Pictures behind us. So
But isn't that
video stores were afraid of it, even though the theaters played very nicely.
Well, theaters to this day are still like a place, because we feel like when we do live performances, they're really, it's still just this like place to be yourself without worrying about censoring. Because really, thing comes down to, I feel like when people are all collective in a room to watch something, they're a little bit more, I don't know, like open to more difficult content and conversations.
And it's not, it's a full circular experience where you have, you're saying the words and you're being engaged by the audience as opposed to, of course, social media, which at the end of the day is you just talking to yourself and a wall of other anonymous voices. When it comes to trauma, Lloyd, let's just go back in time.
Wait a minute, 1 second. This is my 50th year. Troma has made at least 100 movies. We own another 400. We got the Rowan collection, where we have preserved about 300 negatives of public domain movies like White Zombie and Sinatra.
Nice.
And all the stuff that would have deteriorated. I've written 7 books. As you mentioned, you can't find somebody in L.A. who has not worked for Troma, from Trey Parker to Eli Roth to Gabe Friedman to Samuel Jackson to Fergie to George, the late guy who crashed in the Fast and Furious, the whole thing. But you're the only ones who get it. You know, you and our fans. You know, no mainstream media gives a shit that I've had 50 years. They don't care. And that's a big problem. So it's thanks to you. You have the burden.
Thank you, Lloyd. But I have to say, the reason that Troma is so special is because it hasn't been perverted.
Dude.
It hasn't been tainted by these big corporate brands. Like, you get to stay true to yourself.
You don't have to deal with the horse shit of moving into the mainstream, which requires you to dance. And you have
right.
to walk whatever line they set up.
If the New York Times, instead of having 15 articles about the new Spider-Man movie, had one article on the front page of the entertainment section about hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm, I guarantee you we'd have 2,000 screens in about 10 minutes.
But, interesting.
Well, I don't know if the New York Times has that reach anymore.
It does. It does. We don't exist in the media. Right. Nobody knows about us except for you and our million fans. It's not enough. Never enough.
Is that something that truly does aggravate you? Because from a fan perspective, Henry and mine and our audience, you know, we see, I remember the first time watching Toxic Avenger, your interpretation, speaking of superhero movies, you know, as this nerd all of a sudden becomes the Avenger for all that have been downtrodden. And of course, it's also a very pro-environmental movie.
I mean, you were doing that shit back in the day before it became
eco-horror.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you have been talking about the environment for a long time.
Yeah.
You've been talking about workers' rights for a long time. You've been talking about equality between the genders for a long time. It's very, it's interesting to see how your stuff, which is kind of where we live,
yeah,
which is that you can, the whole point is to put a lesson in the middle of a bunch of shit jokes, because
right.
that's what makes, it's the sugar that makes the medicine go down.
And then also, because you are, you know, you're not on the outside, you created an entity, you are also on the inside in that way, but because you have sort of a peripheral view and just an unbelievable, you know, artistic talent that might not fit into the mainstream, you can really sucker punch these motherfuckers. And once you get into the mix, I mean, we learned this with James Gunn, the Guardians of the Galaxy, kicking him off.
They just finally let him do it.
And now he's back because everyone's like, what are we doing here? You don't have to deal with any of that. You are in charge.
I think that is
what makes it so, Troma lives and dies with you. And I think, you know, so I just want you to, you know, also realize that, like, I think it would, I don't want to see you in the New York Times because I fucking hate the New York Times.
Yeah,
I want to see you in Fangoria. I want to see, like,
there's another one. Have they ever done anything but put us on the back of the bus, Fangoria? I'm very sorry. We've always been in the back of the bus, no matter what. So,
well, the back of the bus is where the cool kids hang out. Don't forget.
The guys who, you know, I consider Tony and Mike a friend, but go and look at the history of Troma and Fangoria, and up until today, where it's about Fox and Sony and Spider-Man And maybe there are a few little coterie friends and Joe Bob Briggs which is owned by a company
AMC.
Nothing. What's it called?
Shudder.
Which is owned by a giant devil worshiping conglomerate. So they got all the money in the world they can advertise. And by the way, the guys who created the Joe Bob show, both of them were my assistants. And they are the producers of hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm.
Yeah, John Brennan.
And John Brennan, yeah.
Yeah, John Brennan's a good friend.
Actually, Matt Mangiarides, I think, may have been his idea. He was in charge of our whole hard goods department.
Hard goods.
Brilliant guy. So it's got a monster, right? I gave you some other reasons. It's got a fairy. It's got a storm. Yes. It's got it's a low hanging fruit. It's a natural, but
especially for your lens.
The Museum of Modern Art gets us. The Museum of the Moving Image.
Who else do you want?
The art people get us, but not the
But don't forget, the art people are the people that keep art alive.
Yeah.
And
got to remember, too, is that people are going to love you so much after you're dead. You don't even have to worry about it.
You are not the first to tell me that.
You'll get in the New York Times when you're dead, and then it'll all be a huge irony.
I will say, so in hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm. Okay. Love this movie. This is great. But there's a scene in it. I just want to kind of ask straight up that because our friend Nadia White, who's a friend of ours of our show, honestly, also you had Marcus Parks was a member of a band called the Cowmen that was in the background of that giant party scene. They're great.
I love them.
Oh, yeah. They were part of that big, massive scene. And there was a what would call sort of what I would term it a vomit. Like avalanche, right? That does happen somewhere in the center of this movie, right? How did it start? Is that in the script? Like, did you write that into the script, or was that a thing that happened naturally? And you're like, let's get this going.
Good question. It's CGI. It's all CGI.
Is it all CGI? Wow, I know there was something vomiting.
Look at it really closely, and you'll see. You know,
did Nadia not throw up on her own, though? Because Nadia is a trooper. She's a real performer.
She really is.
You ask her, but I say we put in the CGI. It was supposed to be a diarrhea scene, and Nadia hadn't eaten anything. So,
well, there you go. That's the power of Nadia White.
I'm fucking with you. Everybody who vomits in our movie, it's real vomit.
That's what I'm saying.
In some cases, they might have put a little green stuff in. But that scene at the bar where you see that, you can't fake that. I bet you Steven Spielberg's going to start using, right? You remember Toxic Avenger? We had the first head-crushing scene in a movie, full head-crushing scene. Next thing you know, Spielberg, Soderbergh, they're all doing head-crushings.
Well, Scorsese had the fucking in Goodfellas.
You said it. That's right. And by the way, there's a great show on Netflix called Sally Forever. And the woman who wrote it, directed, stars in it, has a featured role in the big budget Toxic Avenger movie.
Yes.
And she shits on a man's face and you see the shit come out and hit the guy's face. There's people who vomit on each other continually, and there it is, featured on Netflix with all the
whistles
and talking to the cameras, all popular.
Well, maybe you don't get with one of these big corporate oligarchs because it hits too close to home for them, and they really can't handle that.
We need to sell tickets. The only thing we need to sell tickets. We have to, if the fans don't support us, we can't stay in business.
That's what's nice about when Joe Bob Briggs showed Troma's War, because I absolutely loved that episode, because what's really interesting, what Shudder is doing, is I love the fact that they're going through the archives and showing shit that no one has seen before. Like, no, I never even heard of Troma's War. And then watching it, I was just like, that went up into my top 10 Troma movies.
Oh, thank you. Joe Bob is a real cineast. He loves film and he loves culture and he's read a book or two and he's well-educated. The people at Shudder are idiots, so I don't think it has anything to do with them.
Who knows?
It has nothing to do with them. It's Justin Martel, Matt Mangiarides, John Brennan, Joe Bob, And by the way, our production designer on hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm is the production designer for Joe Bob. Pretty much the whole crew was Troma alums. So it's because of them. It has nothing to do with the idiots at Shudder. They will, you know, 50 years from now, they'll be calling up my grandchildren to see if they could show a hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm. There's no way, no way Shudder thought Toxic Avenger, Troma's War, Romeo and Juliet, Bloodsucking Freaks, Mother's Day. There's no way they understood those movies.
Bloodsucking Freaks, that movie was amazing. But when it comes to inspirations, you mentioned you inspired Steven Spielberg, a lot of other, you know, creatives. When you hear Matt and Trey and James Gunn and the people aforementioned that you mentioned, when you hear of their success, does that make you proud? Because people refer to Troma as university.
Oh, very
much.
You
know, it's where people go to learn film. You learn to work on a budget.
That's why Murderfist did sketch comedy, because we're all people that did it. Like, we didn't realize just how much, and I'll say this straight up, just how much we directly stole from you for years.
So with Troma, I mean, you learn all of these different skills. I mean, that must be something.
I wanted to keep going with you guys, but you got successful. Something happened.
I don't know if that happened. I would definitely just say that our sketch group ran out of steam, and now we're doing podcasts.
Well, if you happen to run across a script or write one, I don't have something I'm obsessed with right now. I'm producing two movies. One is called Weird Deer with much of the crew from hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm. And then Mercedes the Muse just finished Divide and Conquer. And
fantastic.
Then Liam Reagan is who is working on Weird Deer. But he's producing in England, and I think they're editing now. So there are Troma movies in production, but I don't have something to direct. So if you guys come up with something.
Let's throw that out to our audience. If you are someone who wants to learn the art, make a script, send it to Troma, send it to Lloyd. What do you look for when it comes to a young talent? When it comes to someone, do they just have to be hungry? When it comes to a young director or writer, you know, just tell our audience a little bit, because you are, you know, you've been around for fucking 50 damn years. What kind of skill sets do you think are, you know, the best to make the best film and things like that?
Especially for a Troma film.
Oh, well, the skill sets for Troma is A, love cinema, and B, love Troma. All the people that work for us, we only have about 10 employees.
Yeah.
They all started as, you know, observers, basically, fans.
Everybody.
And they're lovely people, and they're motivated by trying to be involved in making some art that they believe in, and they learn. And the best, I think James Gunn really has it all. He's very talented. He's got a master's. He's written a novel when he was a graduate student. And he works his ass off, and he's a good guy. And he's very good with talking to people. He's a people person.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to make it. Same with Eli Roth. These guys are well-educated, went to good schools. They've read a lot of books. I can't say I know Samuel Jackson. If I met him, I didn't direct that film, so maybe I met him a couple of times. But Trey and Matt, same thing. They're very well educated. Trey Parker has an encyclopedic knowledge of Troma and the Broadway musical, which is basically my beat. I'm heavy into musicals, so that's how I understood Cannibal the Musical when the Shudder people or whoever were there before Shudder and all the other mainstream idiots in suits didn't get it. Well, how could you have a musical about cannibals? We can't distribute that.
Yeah, it's dumb. They're always wrong. They're wrong. Always incorrect. We were all told that podcasts were a waste of time for years. We were told for by all of our people, we were told that all of this was a waste of time and it was never going to do anything. And it just shows sometimes you have to stick by your guns.
Absolutely.
And do what you believe in, which also kind of brings me to a question of like, so you're producing still, which is awesome, but you really still do, you want to direct again? You want to get back in there? You want to get back in the seat?
If there's something that's very original, can be any genre, or genre, if you speak.
Genre.
Very good R. That's a good R.
Thank you.
And I'm open to anything. Doesn't have to.
What about the Lloyd Kaufman story?
About a young gigolo,
Lloyd Kaufman. Like, he's out there. Like, obviously, he was raised in a brothel to be the ultimate, you know, Lothario of women, but he still loved film, and so he had to be torn away from his job of being this traveling, essentially male prostitute for the government.
Half Willie Loman. Well, wait a minute. You're on the side. It's half Willie Loman, but half male prostitute.
I honestly think that that's not a bad idea. But the idea of like almost a biopic about the beginning of trauma.
Well, interestingly enough, I am working on something. Maybe when we get a little bit of a synopsis, you guys could read it.
Of course.
Maybe when we get a first draft, which is it's got sort of a Salt Lake City punk part, kind of my
SLC punk,
But then it takes a very harsh turn and moves toward Dostoevsky, which the people at Shudder have never heard of.
Interesting, though. So, I like that.
Yeah, I have to ask, you know, between Sergeant Kabuki Man, again, the Toxic Avenger, Tromeo and Juliet.
Thank you.
What are some of your favorite characters when it comes to trauma? What are the ones where you're just like, these are my babies?
Who do you fight? Because we know Doug Sackman. We have a mutual friend with Doug Sackman who has kind of had he's the helm of Sergeant Kabuki Man, and he seems to hold that. Like, he brought Sergeant Kabuki Man to the 2020s.
Yeah, who's your most iconic character that you created?
Well, my wife says that Toxie is basically me getting older in each movie.
Yeah.
And I imagine there's some truth there. The his significant other is the one who, is the boss, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. And she's blind.
I guess it has to be Toxie.
Yeah, that's the number one. And like, well, but
in
now.
In terms of identifying with a trauma character, every once in a while I have a little pang for Dolphin Man.
Yeah.
Because I do have breasts and Dolphin Man is a mammal. I think the most personal film is hashtag Shakespeare's Shitstorm. And
it feels like it. It has a haunting, like, that's one thing I tell people about trauma movies, and this idea of like, when you rewatch Toxie and you rewatch these things, there actually is sort of a, like, not to, you know, belittle it in any way, but there was a real emotional center to these things that allowed them to work. And Shakespeare's Shitstorm actually has this kind of feeling of, I guess that's why when I watched it, I actually felt very sad, because it kind of felt like, oh, is this Lloyd saying goodbye to directing movies? Is this his, like, final, like, I did it. This is my statement. Because it kind of feels like it.
I think you're close. Unless something awfully good comes along, I think that's it for me. After the movie hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm finished principal for production, and remember, we had 6 weeks in Queen and 2 weeks in Albania. So,
that's right. Yeah, you guys went all the way to Albania too to shoot.
Correct. And you can see a lot of production value and trained. That's where we trained the whales, the whole thing. So the point is that after the movie was over, I made a tribute to one of my favorite directors, Alfred Hitchcock, by actually having vertigo.
That's perfect.
That's incredible.
I had like a room spinning around for 3 days, and I hadn't had a drop to drink.
I wonder. Hey, that's you getting high on your own supply. That's old flashbacks from the 70s.
Iron Maiden flashbacks.
speaking of the 70s, 80s, I'm also a huge fan of John Waters. I remember growing up on like Desperate Living, Pink Flamingos, but both of my older brothers are gay. And I don't know if that has anything to do with the fact that I watched those movies very young, probably more so.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of understanding true camp as a little boy is actually very difficult.
When we look at like, you know, the 70s art movement and the 80s cinematic art movement, do you see any, like, when it comes to Waters and yourself? Because I hold you guys in the same kind of prestige in this way of like, these movies shock you.
Yeah.
They're like, whoa, that's different. I haven't seen anything like that before. I haven't seen a chicken get fucked to death. That usually doesn't happen. Edith Mathey, you know, eating all the eggs. Did you guys have a competition with each other, or did you guys ever cross paths?
We have crossed paths. Yeah, I'm not particularly, how do you say it? He was, to me, he's more of clearly the guy has a wonderful, brilliant body of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His whole style of.
Well, you don't got to be friends. Like, that's a big thing. It's really about how you guys, what you guys meant. Because it's something right. about, especially in America, where it's society, it's true American filmmaking, like what you did, what John Waters does, which is this idea of bad taste, which I feel like we have lost like a little bit of that, the embracement of it because. I mean, obviously,
everything is bad taste today. Everything is considered bad taste. I just watched a wonderful movie with Steve Martin called My Blue Heaven.
Oh, I love My Blue Heaven.
You couldn't make that today. They would never let you make that movie today. The whole crowd.
Bad taste in the truest sense. You know, you look at someone like Peter Jackson, who started with Dead Alive. When it comes to bad taste, theoretically, right, that movie is, it's brutal. And a freaking lawnmower taking people out.
Was that his first? Yeah, you're right. Bad taste. Yeah.
Dead Alive.
Yeah, and then there was Dead Alive.
And then the concept of bad taste.
It's really interesting, the idea of like, because also the thing about all of these bad taste movies, Trauma included, is that they have been the home for many people that have not found a home other places.
Exactly.
Especially if you look at now, if you go to Trauma now, like you can look at, go watch.trauma.com. Like if you look at the body of work that's not within Trauma, there's so many themes of like, you know, LGBT inclusion, people, all sorts of, if you don't fit into a space, Trauma will have you.
That's right.
And all of these places seem to have that aspect of like,
yes,
there's a part of the shroud of bad taste also allows you to actually be more accepting of alternative lifestyles.
Well, certainly we've been way before Al Gore invented the internet.
He should be killed for that.
He was bragging about it 21 years ago or so, 22 years ago.
We were ahead of him. I don't think one can fault us, really.
But, the interesting thing is, you did give a home to a lot of people that were, you know, again, maybe searching for something. You know, there's a lot of unique perspectives that Trauma provides,
right.
Throw a lot of, you know, that stuff out there. And so I know that, you know, you've been sort of upset with not being embraced by the mainstream, but because of that, your doors were open to a lot of people, you know, that desperately needed you. Who knows where these people would be without you?
Your daughters are going to spend a lot of time having to go through your possessions to give them out later on. And I can't wait to be there at your home helping strip it. I'm going to help strip it. And honestly,
you're welcome. Come and have a cocktail if you guys ever want to have a cocktail.
I absolutely would love to.
I'll give you a one of a kind. I have my place is a little bit like Kevin Eastman's, except I've got stuff that's worthless. His house is a museum of, you know, tchotchkes and.
That's what I'm slowly becoming. I feel like it's just the type of person where you just build up a collection of all of this stuff over years of being an asshole.
Come over. I give you a unique, a one of a kind souvenir from the home of Uncle Lloydie.
Oh, that absolutely.
Sounds great.
Straight up. My Trauma certificate is one of my prized possessions, and I have it on my wall, and and it means a lot to me.
Well, it does. It comes from the heart, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Rupert Murdoch cannot buy love or word of mouth with all that money.
Or a boner.
No, we can't. But I honestly think that there is big things for Trauma in the future. I do think that there is the brand is strong in terms of people really are. This generation is really getting into the horror movie, the true horror movie scenes of the 70s and the 80s, and they're discovering it. Like, horror is stronger than it's ever been.
And it's because when people get together, everyone's like, you know, they're all dressed like vampires or whatever, and everyone's just like, hey, how are you? I am, I'm Ben. I just want to go have a couple of Bud Lights. Want to hang out? Like, everyone is so sweet, and you helped create that world. So we want to thank you as horror fans.
You know, if John Waters had a festival like Trauma Dance and he invited me to be on a panel or to speak, I would do it for free. Now, he's got all the fucking money in the world. And I asked him to be on a panel with James Gunn, Ty West, and Trauma Dance Film Festival. We've been doing it for 22 years. He said he only does things if he gets paid.
Well, you know, it's America too.
Also,
you know?
The people at New Line were the absolute scum of the earth, and somehow he was able to deal with them.
So well, honestly, you got to play the game.
But meanwhile, clearly there's a big money thing going. And I say that from, I will say that from the time that the bourgeois movie made about the dark, the housewife who with that beautiful woman who became obese, I say from that time on, trauma trumps John Waters on every film. Even the movies we didn't make. Trey Parker, all that stuff is better than Waters.
It's not a competition, but indeed, Troma wins the hearts and minds of people. I know, this is the thing.
Like, I actually sort of, I commiserate with the chip on the shoulder, because that is what Dave Willis, who created Aqua Teen and worked on Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell with me. It's like, we both said this, the chip on the shoulder is also the fuel. It's the coal that, yeah. I mean, yeah. it is going to kill us, Lloyd.
Yeah,
but
you
it
don't
is
want,
that chip.
That's the only
that
problem.
Is what's good. That's the thing that makes you strong.
You don't want the chip to get too heavy, then you fall over like the Flintstones car.
You're right. My wife gets upset because I yell at the television. She watches
Now, honestly, that's a show I would watch.
Dude, this
Lloyd
is literally
yells
just,
at the TV.
I just see myself in a fucking time machine, because it's me and my wife at the same.
God
just,
damn it!
Stop yelling at the television, Henry.
It's Drew Carey. It's fine. He wasn't even in competition.
But before we go, is there a line of advice that you could give this to young people that are out there like trying to make movies? Like, I know that like a little bit what you said on Joe Bob, I really appreciated the idea that like it's so much easier to make movies now than ever before. Like, you can make shit. Like, what's something that you like, what's something for young filmmakers to know about what they should do to get their first movie out the door?
And because everyone can make one, there's also more competition, so it might be a little bit more difficult to stand out. Which, of course, is something you know how to do.
Well, for one, I've written 7 books. 5 of them are all about filmmaking. Make your own damn movie. Direct your own damn movie. Produce your own damn movie. Sell your own damn movie. Whatever. We have a video, Make Your Own Damn Abortion, that I did. buried somewhere. Hey, by the way, never mind. I'll keep going now. I was onto something.
The books.
But I think there's a big decision. Do you want to be totally independent artist, which you kind of can do with today, because you can make a movie for $2,000, a feature-length movie, and still be a dental hygienist and make a decent salary. So that is one way to go. Starting your own trauma is probably impossible, but I think you can do your own distribution now, not necessarily through trauma, but doing what we do, exactly what we do. Read my book, Sell Your Own Damn Movie, because I think that will help. The other decision at the crossroads is go out to the City of Angels. Work your way up through the corridors of power. And if you have talent and if you have an ability to to actually do what you say you're going to do, which very few people do have.
Sure.
And if you've read a few books, it's like shooting fish in a barrel out there. They're all so stupid. So people like James Dunn and Trey Parker, you guys, if you wanted to live and go out there every day and pitch and write and pitch and write, you'd make it. Woody Allen says, Woody Allen, this is probably the best lesson I could give you. Woody Allen says, success is 88% just showing up.
Oh, I agree. I completely agree. And you also, you need some high quality knee pads.
Absolutely. That's another thing Woody Allen said. All right, Lloyd Kaufman, thank you so much for being with us, man. You are an absolute icon, and it was wonderful.
Woody Allen's also fucking his daughter, apparently. So.
That was kind of the joke there. It's kind of a disgusting person, but you know.
Hey, he married her, man.
Okay, that's good.
Todd on the left doesn't laugh.
We're gonna do what we call a hard cut. No, I'm just joking. Thank you so much, Lloyd. You were absolutely wonderful.
Live from your grave.
All right, everyone. There it was, our conversation with Lloyd Kaufman.
The iconic Lloyd Kaufman.
You know, what I like is he's reserved. He holds back.
he
doesn't
really
let you know
back.
If he's angry or what he thinks about Hollywood. But, you know, that is a man who has lived it And, oh, yeah. You know, for all of...
It's hard to be in a sea of people that want you to kiss up to them. It's very difficult because you got to kiss his the ring.
It's not in his personality type.
It's not in ours.
It's not in ours. But, you know, we just have to be so grateful to the people that came before us.
Oh, absolutely.
And the fact, again, you know, Trey and Matt and James Gunn, it's like those names just to me are just, you know, I watch South Park all the time. And you wonder, would South Park be here without, you know, without Cannibal, the musical?
They
we just
about
don't
it.
Know.
They talked about it.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening. You want to do a triple L?
You got to get out there.
Whoa, that's right. A triple B.
Oh, man, that really came from deep. I felt my toes.
That was like if I asked you to burp as a cartoon frog, you just got the roll, my
Lordy,
friend.
Lordy,
that's
Lordy,
how
Lordy.
We usually bleep out the burps, but I think that has to stay in.
Yeah, I mean, no vomit.
No, that was amazing.
So every day, live your life knowing like, oh, man, I mean, this guy got my meth. Tonight, this
no,
date's going to be fucking incredible.
I don't wanna think
I got
about
my
that
chain.
Now.
Love the fact that you trust your new girl. Maybe you only went out a couple times.
Please,
you trust her
be
to
safe.
Peg you with impunity, and she is just going to rail you and rail you and rail you. And you don't need to look back, right?
Because
you ain't no horse. You ain't no horse.
Oh.
And then you're going to laugh. In heaven, looking down, wondering, being like, where did it all go wrong? Well, I guess we got a little bit carried away, didn't we, Chad?
Oh.
You know what I mean? You just don't, you know, I always want to be laughing in heaven, certainly not here.
Well, take care of yourselves, everyone, and be safe out there. It's hard to vet everybody. But you know what? I don't know.
I just assume
the best until it's not the case. And then give me like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustolations.
Hail me.
Get out there and make something creative. Yeah. Even if it's, you know, to be honest, if it has to be a TikTok, make it a TikTok.
Make it
just
a TikTok.
Do something creative, please. Otherwise, you're going to go crazy.
Yep.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.